You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
What's this button do?
You are now entering the green world.
At COP30, New Zealand has not joined over 80 countries in signing a global plan to phase out fossil fuels. Climate Minister Mark Mitchell has defended this move, saying that the government was already committed to transition away from fossil fuels as of 2 years ago. For Green World This Week, News and Editorial Director Joel spoke to Sebastian Gierica, Senior Lecturer and Director of the Climate and Energy Finance Group at the University of Otago, about COP30 and whether New Zealand's climate policies are enough to justify not signing this roadmap.
Could you tell us a little bit more about what this global plan is?
So this global plan, from my understanding, is, you know, a call to actually mention the main driver of climate change, which is emissions coming from fossil fuels. And so this is actually quite significant, because usually at the COP, the words fossil fuels, or, you know, the reduction of the use of fossil fuels, is avoided due to the political difficulties of that with various interests at the COPs. And so this, I think, was an attempt by nations who are interested in actually reducing fossil fuel dependency and use to get together and collaborate on that.
Climate Minister Simon Watts has defended the country's choice not to become a signatory here. He says the government is already committed to transition away from fossil fuels as of 2 years ago. Is this an adequate reason not to be a signatory to this global plan?
At COP28, there was this first sort of mention of fossil fuels at a COP agreement, and the wording was, it's very carefully selected, right? So it's, in the end, they negotiated, and the nations that signed up to this came to an agreement to transition away from fossil fuels, which is weaker language than reducing. Or, and so, you know, this is really what Minister Watts is saying: we've already signed up to transition away, and that's the language that he supports, right? So they like this phrasing of transition away. Unfortunately, the actions of the current government are not in line with that either. So it's quite frustrating for someone who, like myself and probably many of the listeners. You know, we want our country and the globe to transition, to decarbonize, to come off our dependency of fossil fuels and avoid the worst of the climate change effects. But our current government seems to be going the other way. So even though they have stated many times they are committed to the climate change transition or to increase renewable energy, right, their actions are not really going in that direction.
And what are some of those actions? Are we on track to move away from fossil fuels, or are we on track to maybe increase the amount of fossil fuels we are currently emitting?
Yeah, so in terms of New Zealand's emissions, they're sort of flattening out a bit, but I think they may be going up in the future. If we look at our historical emissions, because often people say, well, New Zealand, we're just a small country, we make up a very small proportion of annual emissions compared to other countries like China, the US, Europe, etc. But that's not really fair. What you need to look at is our emissions per capita, so per person, and over time, right? Not just 1 year, but actually historically. And so if we look at that, New Zealand, in terms of cumulative, so total emissions since the Industrial Revolution, per person, we are actually one of, if not the top emitter in the world. So we have a huge responsibility to do something. But if we look at the climate policies, the change in climate policy over current government's term, certainly going in the other direction. They are saying the right things at speeches at COP. You know, we need to take more action. We need to work together. A few months ago, Winston Peters calling for an international agreement, which, you know, there was one here that we didn't sign up to. But if you actually look at our domestic policies, you know, the current government cut down the New Zealand Green Investment Fund. They cut EV subsidies. They're changing road user charges, which essentially financially incentivizes fossil fuel burning vehicle purchases relative to EVs. They are bringing back fossil fuel exploration, as well as subsidies for that. They're fast-tracking coal mine projects, focusing on highways rather than low emissions transport. And, you know, really recently they made the decision that there were less companies would have to report on their climate-related risks and opportunities, and also have delinked our emissions trading scheme from our nationally determined contributions. So this government has always said that the emissions trading scheme, the ETS, was the main policy lever for reducing emissions. But now they've announced they will delink it from our Paris Agreement goals. So they are weakening the ETS as well, and the price has crashed. So the market certainly sees it that way as well.
At COP30, New Zealand was awarded the sort of climate Razzie, in a sense, the Fossil of the Day Award. And this is the fourth time in 5 years we've been given this award for reducing our methane targets amidst the methane crisis. Is this award, I guess, warranted?
I would say it certainly is. You know, the current ministers and even previous ministers, let's not pretend it's a one government issue, you know, will point at things like, oh, well, we've got renewable electricity of 95%, and so we're actually doing great. The world is looking at us and wants to be like us. But that's obviously not the case. That's cherry picking data. For example, you know, if we want to look at electricity, yes, on average over a whole year, we're at 95% renewable, largely thanks to hydro dams that were built many years ago. So certainly not something we should be patting ourselves on the back for currently. But also, even in our electricity sector, earlier this year, we were running at 12% renewable electricity because it was dry, the lakes were low, and so we had to burn coal. And it's not really fair to focus only on electricity. If we think in terms of energy, hydro and renewable electricity make up about 42% of our total energy consumption, the rest being from fossil fuels. That's a really different challenge than saying, oh, we're already at 95%. Right? So we actually need to transition our whole energy system. And we also need to look at our emissions from other sectors, particularly agriculture, which makes up half of our nation's emissions and continue to grow. Again, New Zealand historically has one of the top, if not the top, emissions per person in the world. We have a huge responsibility, and currently we're going in the wrong direction.
Various Pacific nations, those especially vulnerable to the risks of the climate crisis, were a part of those that signed this plan. Could New Zealand's lack of engagement with this plan cause sort of tensions between our Pacific neighbours?
I think it could. I think in some cases, again, not something I'm an expert on, but I've seen stories of frustrations expressed by leaders from some of the Pacific nations. You know, and if you want to think about it as a more direct risk and a more selfish sort of perspective, what is going to happen to the Pacific nations if where they live is no longer habitable, right? Because of sea level rise, increased storms, etc. Well, potentially they might need to come to New Zealand as climate refugees. So how are we going to deal with that, right? So even from that perspective, we should be, you know, supporting them. There's so many reasons for acting on mitigation as well as adaptation, and there's very few reasons for not doing so. But it's become very politicized, and certainly the current government is making decisions that are slowing down our transition rather than speeding up, even though they continue to talk about the importance of the transition.
And what are the next steps regarding this global plan to phase out fossil fuels? Could New Zealand come to the table on this specific agreement?
I'm sure we could, but again, you know, it would be a little bit ironic to come to this deal. I mean, we signed up to the Paris Agreement. We already have a deal across all nations, although the US has exited, where we have targets and we are meant to make the most ambitious decarbonisation changes that we can, but we're not, right? So a few months ago, you know, our foreign minister called on, you know, large emitting or high emitting countries to do more, and that we need an international agreement the same time that his government is dismantling our own climate change policy. Now, our climate policy wasn't perfect, but it was a lot more ambitious than what we're doing now. And so, you know, yes, we could sign some more agreements, we could make more promises, but what we really need is action, and a huge lever for that is policy change. And even if you wanted to pretend that the ETS was the only policy lever we needed, there's a lot of work to do before that's a meaningful policy tool. Currently, it is driving a lot of pine plantations and subsidies for some polluting sectors.
That was the University of Otago's Sebastian Gierica on New Zealand not signing a global plan to phase out fossil fuels at COP30.
That was The Green World.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. Support 95 BFM with a B card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.